From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You're Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I brought him back again, y'all.
That is Dr. Funderburk. You know what? You got your boy, your main man, your husband, mm-hmm. and at a minimum, I am uh-huh. your baby's daddy, Keith Funderburk. That's right.
That's right. And my mom, what's your name today, sir?
Okay, so you can't rush me on my name. See, give you a name for each week, Dr. Funderburk.
I know.
This name is specific for this week. Man, but this is a classic name. This is a okay. name that goes back all the way to like the 80s or something. So, that's how old my name is for this particular episode. Again, you got to call me the name for the whole week, Doc. Okay, so what I want you to do is call me Brother David.
Brother who?
David.
AKA
Dave. You can say Dave as well.
AKA Dave. Okay, sir.
Back in the day, Dr. Funderburk, do you ever remember this? It was a TV show, man. It would come out, and there was this guy. He had some issues. There were some things that were going on, and whenever he got angry, oh, man. His name wasn't Dave
mm-hmm.
or David. It came something else. That's
yeah,
right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
is he a big green guy?
Man, this brother big and green. You hear me, Dr. Funderburk? And so that's why. So look, I'm a work in progress, Dr. Funderburk, but I don't turn green.
I'm glad you don't turn green, sir. I'm glad you don't.
No, I don't turn green. I turn a darker brown.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm still dealing with my emotions. There's some things I've experienced earlier in my life, Dr. Funderburk.
Uh-huh.
But it's still, I didn't even know it was down in there. But
okay,
then it can erupt.
Okay. So he did it again, y'all. Every time I'm on the edge of my seat, I'm biting my nails like, what name is this going to be?
That's right. Look, you got to get your nails done, Dr. Funderburk.
But he did do it again. He connected, y'all. So we're talking about today how the body sometimes remembers the things that your mind might forget. And so this big green guy that he's talking about, you know, if you've ever watched any of the movies that the big green guy is in, there are times that, you know, he gets angry and he always tries to stay calm, right? But if he does not stay calm, he will green out, we'll say, right? He'll get really green and big. Otherwise, he's a regular guy. Now, this guy is dealing with anger, but, you know, some people are dealing with anger. Some people are dealing with other emotions, lots of other emotions. But what we're really talking about now is how your body remembers what your mind forgets, the trauma, the frustrations, the ooky things that your mind forgets. Sometimes your body will actually remember it, and it'll show up in certain times when you're like, okay, why did I just have that reaction? I don't know, because everything seems real chill around me, but your body remembered something.
Wow.
That's what we're talking about today.
Okay, so Dr. Funderburk, you're saying in my mind, and again, I do from time to time, I may suffer from a lack of memory or remembering some of my past, but you telling me mm-hmm. my body will remember.
Yes, absolutely. There is a great book called The Body Keeps Score. That's a book that helps us recognize that our bodies will sometimes remember the things that our minds forget and what we can do about it. So, you know, when we experience a trauma, and that can be what I call, or what the profession really as well may call, a big T trauma or a little T trauma. T trauma is like the trauma that anybody would call a trauma, a car accident, the hurricanes that came through recently, if there was a house that was destroyed, those are big T traumas. Little T traumas are things that are only traumatic to that individual. So there's a book that I read a story in, cannot remember the name of it right now, but there was the adult woman who was 40 or 50 in 40s or 50s in this book, and she could not stand for anybody to mention the word of vomit. She definitely couldn't stand to see someone, even a child, even a baby, to vomit. She just did not like anything about the word or the act. And she couldn't figure out why until she went to a therapist who helped her kind of do some work and worked backwards. And she found out that when she was in like third or fourth grade, there was a child that got sick beside her, or she remembered this. This was always in her mind, but her mind kind of locked it away. The child got sick beside her. The child vomited, and there was a little bit of that vomit that got on this lady. It got in her hair. So of course she's disgusted, wow, right? Because who wouldn't be disgusted about right. that? But all of the attention went to the child that was sick and like puking everywhere. So, but nobody helped her to get the vomit out of her hair. So from that point forward, she was like, I'm done with vomit. She would have a visceral reaction, like a gut reaction, if she got connected to vomit some kind of way. That is little T trauma. And that is the body keeping score. You know, she didn't remember that until she went back and did some therapy work. But it was her body saying, oh, okay, I'm trying to keep you safe here, because you did not feel safe when you had that vomit on you as a child.
Wow. Okay, so this is really interesting. It was long, but this is something.
I'm sorry.
But it's a new concept, though. What you're trying to expose us to today is that the body is keeping this type of score. Even though I may not remember it, but my body remembers it.
That's right. That's right. Your brain is going to, it's like it records the danger that, or the whatever that situation is, it records that, and the body is going to, you know, do its thing, like release the stress hormones and all of that stuff. And if the trauma isn't processed, the body, the physical body, can actually stay in that alarm state. It's like the body never got the message that the danger is over. So, you know, your muscles, your breathing, your immune system kind of stay on guard or get back on guard whenever it thinks that that situation is about to reoccur. So really, it's your body trying to protect you because it didn't get the message that, oh, we're good now.
Wow. Okay. So let's think about it like this way, Dr. Funderburk. We know last month we talked about domestic violence, but let's say in a situation where someone may have been sexually assaulted or raped, in a situation mm-hmm. like that, and it might have been a previous partner that the person knew, or maybe a spouse, and now they remarried, but yet some of that old experience, that negative experience, can come in and really impact their relationship. And that could be where the body was keeping a score.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And a lot of times, you know, the body will whisper before it screams at you. So there can be signs. Those whispers can be there. You might have, you know, just chronic tension somewhere, you know, those shoulders are always hiked up. You always just feel tense. The back of your neck is tense a lot, which might cause some headaches, right? Uh-huh. Or that you might frequently, for those people who experience that domestic violence that we were talking about last month, they might regularly feel emotionally numb or emotionally disconnected, because if they connect to feeling, there's the chance that they might get back to some of those negative feelings. And so they would rather feel nothing at all than to potentially go back to feeling that those negative feelings that they once had. So, you know, this is what you would see in classic PTSD when you see that person who overreacts to the very, very small stressor. You know, somebody drops an egg on the floor or drops something that might make a noise. And those small stressors can bring on this sudden wave of panic or sadness or whatever the old feeling was, because that person's body is like, I'm keeping you safe from this thing that happened in the past. I'm not going to let us go back there. So your body is replaying the old survival pattern.
Wow. For those that are just joining, you are listening to How You Living, A Show About Life with the Funderburgs. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. And right now, y'all, we're talking about this new concept. It may be new to the audience, but this has been around when the body remembers. Wow, the body remembers. So let me ask you this question then, Doc, because actually, as you were talking, I remember about maybe it was 25 years ago, I was teaching a class. It was a computer class. And all of a sudden, I had this panic attack. And so in that panic attack, man, I was so intense. My heart rate was extremely high, blood pressure high. I even went to the emergency room because it was just so powerful. I thought I was even having a heart attack, you know, and I was a very young man. But so that might be one of the reasons why when I go into a classroom environment, and I'm going to be the teacher or the facilitator, I always go back to that day when I had that serious panic attack.
Yes, yes. So yes, that definitely was a panic attack. And it is not uncommon at all for people who are having panic attacks to end up in the emergency department, because panic attacks pull on other areas of your body. It will make your heart feel like it's about to beat out of its chest. You might start feeling all the pains that go along with heart attack, or you might think, oh my goodness, there's a side of my face getting numb. Oh my gosh, am I having a stroke? Your mind might go wherever it goes. And that's usually to someplace not great in those types of moments when panic sets in. So panic is that's happening right there in the moment. There's something that has made you nervous, but to the point of way more than nervous. Point of panic. And think about it like a dripping faucet versus when you turn a faucet on full blast. The panic attack is you go from no water at all to all of a sudden, full blast, water is coming out hard, hot, and heavy. Right? That anxiety is more, or that chronic stress is more like the drip. So that's the thing that happens, just drip, 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 drip. Wow. That's the thing that's happening throughout the day. So you don't feel this huge wave of anything. You just feel that low level, but constant, like, okay, is everything good? Okay, let me just go back and check. Okay, why am I feeling like this? Let me just check. You know, you start feeling that. That's the anxiety. That's the chronic stress. Panic is when it comes on full blast. And I would imagine there were some other things happening in that moment too for you, Keith, or even before, kind of like I was saying a few minutes ago, your body will often whisper before it starts to scream at you. So the panic attack is the scream. So another one of those whispers that I didn't mention before is that just like that nauseous feeling. You start to get that kind of a feeling, or some stomach tightness, or you feel like the butterflies in your stomach, or some of you might start to get symptoms kind of like irritable bowel syndrome, that type of thing. And you know, your gut is called the second brain. Some of you may have heard that.
The second brain.
Your gut is called the second brain because it reacts, it will react to that emotional distress. And that's also why some practitioners who are different than my area of specialty, they also talk about it as the second brain in a different way, though, when they're looking at balancing that whole microbiome, that when they're looking at trying to figure out, what's going on with you in some other areas medically, a lot of times those practitioners will look at the gut to see what is going on. So yeah, absolutely. The gut is called the second brain, and it reacts just like your brain will sometimes. Wow. So when that trauma lives in the body, it can show up in everyday patterns. Go ahead.
You know, and let me mention this, though, Dr. Funderburk. I can, I'm thinking about me and I'm hanging out with my dad and we're sitting and we're talking about just life in general. But
yeah,
it's something about men. We have a tendency to suppress experiences. Yeah. It might be a negative experience that it's like, look, I'm going to just keep on going. You know, I'm not going to deal with that. Or deal with that particular issue. And so, but my body or my gut is still feeling it. In my head, I want to move on, but my body is like, uh-uh.
You think, exactly.
Is that happening too, though, you think? When especially for men, because, you know, Doc, there are things that I would just say, I ain't going to deal with it, I ain't going to talk about it. I'm just moving on.
Right. And I think intellectually people are trying to move on, but that's where your body is like, hold on just a second there, sir or ma'am. We need to clear this thing up. We need to go fix this thing and get it right. So that just keep going mentality, it can contribute to the physical symptoms later on. And that stuff just kind of gets stored in your body. And so it's like, oh, you know, I just always have this backache, or oh, I always have that stomach ache, or man, these headaches, you know, they just come, they just kind of come. And I'm not really sure why. That's, you know, that emotion, that negative emotion that's been suppressed. And you mentioned men, you know, just trying to move on. And many women do that too. But oftentimes men socially are not allowed to express emotion without being called names, right? So they're like, I'm just going to move on. And that's where we get the misnomer that men don't have emotions, are not as emotional as women. Men are emotional as women are emotional. It's just that men are not allowed to express it in the same way. So they hold it in as though it's not even there. But really, that body is keeping score. That body is absolutely keeping score.
Okay, so then, again, for those that are listening, you're listening to How You're Living, A Show About Life with the Funderburks. You got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburk, and we're talking about the body remembers. So if I'm a person that's and they're listening on the broadcast today, and they're seeing what, like, look, how do I start this opening up process? Okay, because I got my I got that inner green guy in me. And whenever I go to this particular place, I talk to this particular person. It's beginning to erupt. I can feel it. You know, I can feel the sensations. But the real deal is, Doc, I don't want to talk about it. How do I begin the opening up process? Because really, I'm a guy. I don't like opening up.
Well, okay. I hear you, guy. But, you know, we have to do this, number one, because our bodies are paying attention, but also the people who look at you and love you and learn from you are paying attention, meaning your kids, meaning those young cousins, those brothers, those sisters, those whomever it is, they're looking at you to see how you handle distress. And they oftentimes are going to handle distress the same way that you handled distress. And so if you handle it in a way that is unhealthy, you're likely to pass that on. And people will pick it up without you even telling them to. People just, we are like the people that we came from in most situations. Have you ever, you know, seen behaviors in someone and you're like, oh my goodness, why do you do that? How did you get that? You know, how did you get there? And then you meet some of their family and you're like, oh, okay, never mind. Enough said. So We gotta make sure we're addressing this. It's like, you know, when we talked to our wonderful guest last month who was telling us about what she did with addressing her breast cancer and her multiple cancers. She had to address it. If you don't address a cancer, it usually does not just go away. So these things are the same, especially when we've had trauma to occur very young in our lives, like during that 18 and below age, those 18 and below ages, when we're still a child, when we're still a minor, your body is still developing. So when those stress hormones come out and they stay out after you've had so much toxic stress going on, your organs are developing in the midst of constantly flowing stress hormones. That's not how we're meant to develop. The stress hormones are meant to come out, help us in that moment, and then they go back in, right? Yeah. That's not what always happens when people are not addressing and processing their trauma. Also, when people decide that they're not going to, you know, they just want to stuff it down and say, I'm just going to keep going. That's when you start seeing some of these vices that we have that are unhealthy. That's when you see people that smoke a little bit too much, that drink a little bit too much, that pop off on somebody, you know, real quick, and they can't keep a job. And it's just like thing after thing after thing. That's when you start seeing those things pop up and it's like, okay, sis, okay, bruh, when you gonna get it? When are you going to recognize this? Because you can't just act as though nothing happened in your world to bring on that anger, that frustration, that sadness, that hurt, that fear, that whatever it is for you.
Okay. All right.
No. Did I do it again? Did I talk too long again?
Well, you know, you are an academic, so, you know, I get it. But let me ask you this.
You know, this is just such good stuff for people. And you don't have to hurt. You don't have to continue to hurt. You don't have to continue to be that one who never feels adjusted, you know, never feels fully well. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So if we got like 2 minutes left before we have to close out the show. You could leave our listeners, you know, one message about the healing process, is there one technique, is there one thing that they can do that can help the body remember, but in a way that is productive and that inner green guy doesn't erupt? How do I do that?
So you can start with traditional therapy, and that may be all you need, because there are sometimes it's something about sitting with somebody who is not going to judge you no matter what you say to them. And I promise you, I've heard a whole lot, y'all. You can't surprise me. And most clinicians out there, you can't surprise us, because life happens to us all, and we got to get it out. So I would start with that. You want to start doing breath work sometimes. So that breath work is go on that, you know, that website that has all the videos on it, and look for a website that look for a video that helps you to do that breathing that will slow it down for you, a meditation that may slow things down for you. And that may only be like 5 or 10 minutes, but that will make a difference. That will help you out. We can't just act as though it's not there. Now, sometimes people don't want to open up because they feel like, oh my goodness, if I just lift that latch just a little bit, it's going to open the floodgates and all the emotion is going to come out. And I don't know what to do with that. And I don't know how I'll be able to handle it. That's why you don't do it by yourself. That's why you have to connect with a person who has experience with breathing, with breath work, somebody who has done things like somatic experiencing. If you've had a significant one of those big T traumas, people who've done EMDR, just remember those letters because the words are super long, EMDR trained. Trauma-informed folks, people who work on mindfulness, those are the things that will help you to recover physically from these emotional wounds. Whew, wow. Y'all, I got more to say about this. I really declare I do. I just don't want, I cannot stand to see people hurt emotionally when there's no need for it.
Yeah, because, you know, for some people, they might hear a friend or a family member say, "You ain't over that, you know, you ain't done with that."
Yeah.
You know, that happened, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. But the real deal is, look,
yeah,
you don't know my story. You know, you don't know what
you
I
You don't know my story.
Yeah.
That's what your mama used to say, isn't it?
Hey, well, look, mama, I love you. Look, it's the real deal, though, because, you know what,
right.
I remember an
you
old
song.
You
don't know the story.
You don't know, because I remember this old song they used to talk about, you know, look, don't push me, because, you know, look, I'm close to the edge.
I'm
and
close.
See, when I, see, when you get real close, you don't want me, you don't like me when I get angry, Dr. Funderburg, because it will come out. And so until we deal with some of these emotions and this trauma, you know, sometimes, you know, when people, and again, I know we're coming up on the closing of the show, but this is why some people have these knee-jerk reactions, and it wasn't, and that knee-jerk reaction ended, that caused that person to end up in jail, or caused
That's
that
right.
person to experience or do things they didn't know they were going to do. That, oh man, why did I do that? Well,
yeah,
yeah, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, that's
I call
concept.
That the amygdala hijack.
The amygdala hijack or the emotional hijack. Dr. Funderburg, don't put one of them big old words on us at the end of the show, y'all. Dr. Funderburg, with your big word self, you got to take us out of here.
Y'all, we are so glad that you keep coming to listen to us and supporting us. And y'all even tap us on the shoulder sometimes when we're out in public. And we really appreciate. Please keep doing that, y'all. Join us again next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. And make sure if you have any questions, message us at wnaafm@ncat.edu. wnaafm@ncat.edu. And join us again next time on How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburgs. Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FMHD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FMHD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs on 90.1 FM WNAA.